In this moment, we were all focusing on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, remembering His holiness. I want to know if there anyone that's part of the congregation that has a word, perhaps saw something, feel something on their heart that they want to share with the congregation. Thank you, Daniel.
Yes, good morning, church. This week, I was just reminded about how crazy and how broken and how dark this world is. Yesterday, we were at a funeral of a person that died much too soon. And again, just reminded of the dark world. And in this week, and God said, I must come and share this, I was just reminded about the word gospel, just the meaning of it, where the word comes from. Is it's actually got a Roman context. It's a Greek word called the word euangelion. And where it comes from is sometimes in the Roman times, things would get chaotic. There would be enemies that would threaten Rome, either externally or internally. And the Roman Empire would be in chaos, a lot like we experience in the world out there. And then what would happen? The emperor would go and he would take up his responsibility as the defender of the empire. And he would go out and he would go make war against the enemies of Rome. And then what would happen is, if he defeated them in the big battle, he would be on his way back to Rome to set all things right, to set things back to the way they were. But he's, of course, on his way back. So what he does is he sends out messengers, many of them, as much as he's got with him. And then they would proclaim one word from town to town that they go. And the word is euangelion. And everyone would know what that word means. It means, number one, it means that the emperor has won. And he's going to set all things right again. And then this word was a call to everyone in Rome to say, and three things. The first one, do you believe it? Do you believe that the emperor has won? And that he's on his way back to set all things right? And the third thing was, proclaim it wherever you go. Whether it's in your house, whether it's at work, if it's in the streets. Proclaim the word euangelion, because everyone needs to know that the emperor has won. And he's going to set all things right. And then the third thing is, it's a call to a responsibility to live it. Not to live in the chaotic way that things are, but to live in the ordered way that things are going to be. And the profound thing is this is the word that the gospel writers pick up. It's like the start of the Gospel of Mark. He says, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you read it in the original Greek, it says, this is the euangelion of Jesus Christ. This call to, do you believe that Jesus is coming back? Do you believe that He has won and He's going to set all things right? Secondly, do you proclaim it? And thirdly, I think that's the biggest thing, is are we going to live it? Because I am just so challenged by a world out there that's not as it should be. And we have that message, that word, euangelion, that Jesus is coming back to set all things right. And yes, there are some of us who are also in a world where our lives are chaotic, whether it's sickness, where even, things are not as it should be. But we have that hope that Jesus is coming back to set all things right. And that is the gospel. And that is the gospel that we need to believe, that we need to proclaim, and that we need to live. Just want to pray for us. Yes, Heavenly Father, we come, Lord, and it's a tough world out there, Lord. It's a Lord that is crazy. It's a Lord that is chaotic. But we know it's a world that's not as it should be. And we are confronted, Lord, this morning where we sing, you have overcome death, but then we are at the funeral. You say that you heal, but there are some of us that are still sick. But we come this morning, Lord, and we hear that word Evangelion, Lord. And we come this morning and we just say, we believe. We believe, Jesus, that you have won the victory. You have won the victory and you are on your way back to set all things as it should be. But we also take up that responsibility to proclaim it everywhere we go, just like the Romans did, shout from the rooftops, Evangelion. We take up that responsibility to shout it everywhere we go. And then thirdly, Lord, we take up the responsibility to live it, to live as if you are back. And we will do everything we can through your power, through your Holy Spirit, to live as things should be. In Jesus' name, amen.
A resounding amen. Thank you, Daniel. It's my great honor to ask Cecile to come forward. And while we were worshiping, the picture I got, it was a gift. Cecile and her husband and her little baby boy have, since they've arrived at Shofar Durbanville many years ago, I think as a young student she arrived or just passed her studies in theology. She arrived here and she has been nothing but a gift in the fragrance of Christ. So Cecile, we welcome you. We receive you as a gift and we are so honored to hear this word from you. May God bless you.
Awesome. Sure. It's such a privilege to be honored an opportunity to share the message again. It's been a while, so I am very excited. It's like, yeah, jy is nou al uitgehonger vir 'n stukkie preek voorberei. So I'm really, really grateful for the opportunity. So I thought, like, I just want to say thank you to Vanner and Daniel for that message. I promise I didn't speak to them in this week. So it feels a bit like I want to say amen. And we can go home. But everything that we sang this morning, it felt like a proclamation. Reality is not always that we feel the way, that we feel that way. So the words that we sing, we almost proclaim it. Maybe you're feeling that way today. Hallelujah. That is amazing. Nee? But what I want to chat today about, or gesels saam met julle, is just how can we be a joyful witness? It's so beautiful that you said, and that's the message, and that's how we need to live. But sometimes it's tough. And I've been journeying with this topic of joy now for, I think almost a year, more intensely, just asking God, like, what does this mean? And having some workshops and some dialogue around this topic of joy. And I also want to pray. I thought, yours is now lekker a bit, but it's good to pray, just to give this time to God and trust Him that He will do in each one of your hearts what He wants to do. Yeah. Father, thank you that there's a reason to rejoice this morning. Thank you for the good news, Father. Thank you that our names is written in your book, Lord, or it can be. Thank you that that's a possibility. And Jesus, thank you that you died on the cross for us. And thank you that you rose again, Lord. Thank you that you are alive. And Holy Spirit, I come and ask that you will pour out God's love in our hearts this morning, Lord. I pray for grace, and I pray for your will and your kingdom to come. In this time that we spend together, but also when we go out here, Lord, I pray for hope and hearts that feels hopeless, Lord. I pray for strength. And I pray for peace that surpasses all understanding. And joy that we can't explain. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so the three questions, Maggie, thank you. You can go to the first slide. It's really also three. That's why I say, Daniel, het jy my slides gehad? But it's, what is your message? What is your battle? And what is your game plan? Okay, so I trust for a game plan, and I trust that we won't feel condemned when we walk out here, but we will feel excited about the game plan in our hearts, and that the Holy Spirit will stir something in there. So what is your message? I want you to think about someone that you experience as a joyful person. So anyone in your mind. And then just think about, what is the characteristics of that person? Why would you would say he or she is a joyful person? And then I want you to think about, what do you think is the message that you are sending out in your life? I heard this quote one day, and it says, you might be the only Bible someone read that day. Someone reads that day. Phew, the Engels is ook weer fraught, but we're going to bear with me. So to think about that, what is the message that I'm sending out? I heard this sermon, so I want you to encourage you to go and watch some sermons. There's a lot of, Louis Giglio gave a sermon on fighting for joy, and I'm going to reference him quite a bit, and Francis Chan, so go and YouTube a bit. But Francis Chan said, he actually used his papers, and he said, problem, problem, problem. If you approach, I don't know if you can think of someone like that, but you want to say hi, but you don't know if you want to say hi, because do I have capacity to say hi? And we don't want to say that, but we're thinking it a lot of times, let's be honest. So are you a joy giver, or are you a bit of a joy sucker, a lelike word, I don't know, but do you like, what is the atmosphere around you? And I say again, this is not to condemn, but I believe we live in a time where people are in desperate need to see people that looks alive, that looks joyful, that looks like they believe there's good news. And if not us, then who? And so this is important to think about. And then what is your battle? So let's face it, we're going to get to that point. Is joy is not a bubble, it's a battle. And we're going to look at, why is it so difficult? And then we're going to think a bit about our game plan. Okay, awesome. So let's get started. If you look at those pictures, the following slide, I want you to look at it and think, what stands out to you? And I believe that's a few pictures where you might experience joy in. So just to look at it and think, maybe share with the person next to you. Which picture stands out to you, and why do you say that stands out to you in regards of joy now? Okay, cool. I'm going to give like 2 minutes. You can just turn two by two and say which picture stands out and why. Okay, awesome. I want to encourage you to go and share at home. Also why it stands out to you, and then we can continue. Lucas here in the front said, the oma van sy niks tande nie. That stands out to him. And yet she can smile. So, hallelujah. That is great. So I just want to touch on a few pictures, reflecting on what joy is. So we're talking about being a joyful witness and cultivating joy. But then a lot of times we skip the part where we have to reflect, what does joy mean? How can we define this word? And how do you define this word? What is the lens that you look through when you look at that word? So a few things that came out during this last year through dialoguing and stuff was captured in this following pictures that I want to share. So the first one is a gift. Joy is a gift, okay? But it's also to be able to receive. I mentioned this one time in a group that, what would you say if I say joy is to receive? And in my mind, there goes a bit of rooilichte, you know, serve, you know, don't receive. It's like the self-centered in, but what do you give if you don't receive? And this morning I had to receive to be able to stand here. My husband and my baby is sick, and we needed help this morning. But then it's hard to step out and say, like, I need to receive, yeah. And it gave me joy to know that I have community, I have family. There's something I can receive. And do I withhold joy from others if I don't receive? And then also to receive from God. A lot of times I know when I'm giving out of a place just to feel better about myself and when I'm overflowing. It's quite different. And then the next picture is the mountains. And that picture summarized for me perspective. It helps to put things into perspective a lot of times. Just to think like, yo, to look up, to look to God again, to look at creation, to trust in God. And then simplicity. For me, camping is simplicity. I am sure there's people that beg to differ. But whatever works for you, to get back to the basics. Melissa and I just spoke before the sermon, and she said it was so incredible in India, just that the simple gospel, you know. So that's a reminder for me. And then childlike faith. I'm sure Ferdi and Liesel chose that picture of the wedding. Baie geluk. There's an engaged couple here this morning. Let's just give them a hand. So moments like this, we can experience joy. Why? Because there's something bigger than ourselves happening. There's a leap of faith that was given. And then service and community. And then just lastly, that yellow umbrella. Joy is the surprising factor. It's when no one expects it. It's a deeper thing. It's, yeah. So I want to read from Philippians 4. And yeah, I'm first just going to read it through and then we can continue. So it says, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. We can just stand still there a bit. So there's so many things that we can get from that passage around the word joy. And first of all, Paul is the author of this letter. And he wrote this letter while being in the prison. And he was able to sing in the prison. And he, if you read a little bit further in Philippians 4, he is also the one who said, I've learned to be content in having a lot and in having nothing. So when he writes, I'm like, if I think of someone that, you know, kind of a role model of joy, I would say Paul, you know, he got something right. Definitely a human being, but there's something we can learn from this guy. So just a little bit of background on who wrote this letter. So he starts out by saying, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, Stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. And what I want to take from there is joy is relational. There's something in his heart that can rejoice to encourage his fellow brothers and sisters. He looks beyond himself in terms of accountability. Stand firm in the Lord. And there's a true love, I would say. There is something in his heart that I see that clicked something, that wants to work together for something bigger. And then stand firm in the Lord. Joy is relational. It is relationship with God. And I want you to think about someone that you, have you ever been in a situation where you have to surrender something, a task or assignment? You have to say, okay, I trust you with this now. I'm going to go on with my life. Is it easy? Is it hard? So think about someone where it's easy. When you ask that someone to do something, you know it will be done and you are at ease. But there's also other people sometimes or situations in your life where you want to like let go, but before you get yourself, you're like, you know, like this morning, I had to let go big time of my 11-month-year-old baby, trusting that everything will be okay. But it wasn't easy. I was driving to the church. I think I looked like a crazy person, and I didn't care because I sang out loud, hallelujah, just to keep perspective. So it's not always easy. But then I want to say, if we think about giving things to God, joy is relational. So the center of it is trust and relationship with our Creator. When you give things to God, do you tend to want to grab on again? Or are you at ease when you surrender it? I have to confess, a lot of times I'm like, okay, Jesus, I hear it for you, but backup plan, backup, 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 backup. Hierachter. And joy is to be able to surrender to our Creator. It's almost like saying, your God, it's okay, I have this. You can focus on like, you know, keeping the universe in place. But this one, I think I have this one. Okay, I know you're busy with the universe now. So trust him. He's really, really capable. And things that looks like a mountain to us, he's busy creating, like he's knitting together the next generation. He's capable. So joy is relational in God, but also people around us and encouraging each other. Okay, and then also whose names is written in the book of life. When last did we rejoice about the fact that our name is written in the book of life? To think about that again, to remind ourselves of that again, often. It's amazing to, there's moments that we do it, but to remind ourselves daily, our name is written in the book of life. And if you sit here today and you say, but I don't feel like my name is written in the book of life, then we're going to pray for you. And to step into that. Okay, so then the next part, there's also working together to a greater purpose. So we're going to go on to the rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord. Is that a command? If we think about a command, it's like, moenie moord pleeg nie. You know, that's what I think about. Moenie steel nie. But what about rejoice? And we keep each other accountable for moenie moord pleeg nie. I mean, like, seriously, that is a big thing. And we, it's easier for us to think about, you know, stay on route, play op die pad, helping our friends. But do we encourage each other to rejoice? Do we remind each other like, okay, cool, there's a time for mourning, and I just want to say this as well. This is not to take away what you're going through. We're going to get to that now. But there is a space for us and for friends and brothers and sisters in Christ to say, awesome, let's look up again. What is the truth in this situation? So to rejoice, to remind us that this is a command in the Bible. Let your reasonableness be known to God. What is your message? So at work, at home, what is your message? Do people see something different? Are you that yellow umbrella? Do they witness joy? What is that message? It says, let your reasonableness be known. The Lord is at hand. So that might make you feel anxious, because I, for one, can confess that ek het definitief hierdie toets gedryp die laaste week, you know? It's not always easy. We need the grace of God. But it doesn't take away the fact that this is written in the Bible and that it's a command. So do not be anxious. When you surrender, let go, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. You can go to the joy is not happiness slide. Thanks, Maggie. So to think about what we can also take from this scripture, have you ever thought about what is the difference between joy and happiness? So here's a few things. Joy says, happiness says, if that happens, or what if I can just accomplish that, or what if that happens can take your happiness as well. Joy is even if this happens. Happiness focuses on trust in my own ability. Joy is shifting your focus on what is God's ability. Circumstantial is another one. And another thing is also happiness. It's possible to fake happiness. I've put on a face a few times. Ek kan getuig. People think it's going great. Want ek is nie lus om te verduidelik. Dit gaan nie goed nie. You know? It's not possible to fake joy. Joy is something people experience around you. Joy is in you. Happiness is not bad. Okay. Happiness is amazing. But it can't be the root of your life. And then just another thing, you can't be happy and sad at the same time. Have you ever been happy and sad? If I look at my baby, it might be possible. It's like crying. What? Are you happy? Are you sad? But exactly in the same moment, it's impossible to cry and to laugh. Oh, yeah. Now that I think about it, to really experience the emotion of happiness and sadness. Like, but joy, and this is something I actually want to emphasize, it is possible to still have joy in your heart, but be very disappointed. And it's not bad. It's okay. It's possible to still have joy in your heart and acknowledge that you're mourning. So joy is something deeper. This is summarized so beautifully for me. Happiness is an emotion based on circumstances and outcomes. Joy is gratitude rooted in Christ, no matter the circumstances. Joy is gratitude rooted in Christ, no matter the circumstances. Okay, so is this easy? I mentioned now, no, it's a battle. And if we look at Galatians 5, we can see that there's a conflict happening between our flesh and our spirit. And we are body, soul, and spirit. I always say, if God just wanted to made us spirit, he would have. So we have to acknowledge that we have all three. And we can, if you can go there to that next slide. Thanks, Maggie. I just want to read, a part of this. And it says, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. So the acts of the flesh are obvious. And I've asked myself, sometimes it's obvious, sometimes we oortuig onself that it's not that obvious, but to remind ourselves actually that it's obvious. So there's a battle between the fruit of the spirit and our fleshly desires. Okay, and that's the conflict. And it says sexual immorality, impurity, there's a lot of things, but what I want us to focus on is also hatred, jealousy, selfish ambition. And that is sometimes for me something that can be a weekly struggle, a daily struggle. As it rarig rof gaan, maybe an hourly struggle, you know? And that is in conflict with what? With the fruit of the Spirit, with kindness, with patience, with joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So what needs to happen if there's no joy in my life? There can be sadness and joy in my life. But what if there's no more joy, just sadness? And when we think about this, that joy is not a bubble, but a battle, it helps me, it encourages me, because it's like there's an acknowledgement that this is not so easy as just getting up in the morning and always just being joyful. I can testify that there's been a time in my life where it was very tough to even speak the truth over my life, and where I needed community to help me to get to a place of being joyful again. So it is a battle, just acknowledging that. So the biggest enemy of joy, so there's an enemy. It's not just tralila, hi gaat ons, there's an enemy. The biggest enemy of joy is an ungrateful heart rooted in self. So joy is a grateful heart rooted in Christ, but the enemy of joy is ungrateful heart rooted in self. So how does that express how can we see what is the fruit of that? I almost want to say. And there's two things, and Louis Giglio mentioned this, and it's just so beautifully. We can talk hours about like how joy how perfectionism steals my joy, and comparison steals my joy, and this and that. But there's a root even deeper than that, and that is entitlement and shame. And you might lean a bit more to the other one, or sometimes more to this one. But I want to, just expand on that. Why do we say that? So the biggest enemy first is ungratefulness, okay? So you catch yourself that you're not very grateful. You don't really see any beauty at this moment. Everything just feels gray. So there's not really a lot that you feel you can say thank you for, to be honest, if you're really honest with yourself. So the first thing is entitlement, and that is when deep down, you won't say it, but you feel like, I deserve it. I deserve this, like, or I deserve a break right now, or I deserve a house. Why am I not in the line for a house? I've been asking for 20 years now. I deserve a husband, God, come on. Like, I could know I'll, I'm becoming the person I want to meet for like 20 years now. Waar my man? And it's okay to go through that emotions, and God our Father is with us. But it can become a joy stealer in our life if that becomes the root of your living. So a deep thinking of I deserve it. And then shame is I don't deserve it. God, look what I've done. I don't deserve your help. I'm not helping you ever, so why do you want to help me this morning? I realized, like, I can't outgive my mom. That is just, she will just always be the one giving me more than I will give her. Okay? But it brought me joy to receive her help this morning. It took a while to ask for it, confession, but it gives me joy. But a deeper thing of I don't deserve it. So shame is when you start believing that I am bad. Okay? It's personal. Guilt is what I did is bad. You can still separate the two. But shame is when it's becoming who you believe you are. So I don't deserve it. So why can't one of these two be grateful? Because the one think he earned it, or she earned it, so she didn't receive a gift. She worked for it. It wasn't a gift. And the other one never received anything. So how am I supposed to be grateful? It's like thinking about renting a house. You paid for the house for that month. So you're donkey for the house, like you, but you need to fix the pipes because I'm actually paying for this rent. There's a thing of I deserve to live here because I'm paying the rent. Okay? Imagine the landlord tells you, you know what? I just want to give rent to you this month. Like, you don't have to pay. I just want to give it to you. So there can still be someone like, yeah, I deserve it because I've paid like, how many is it, you know? So then they're still not grateful. Or you can be like, it's too much. I can't receive it. And then yet you're not grateful. So if you think about this in your own life, a few moms told me like, okay, yeah, they acknowledge it. Like, with their husband, they feel entitled. With their children, they feel shame. And I can identify. With my husband, I'm like, okay, great. Yes, funny work of church. You know, here's the baby. My time. Okay? With my baby, I feel like, I promise I love you. Like, a bit of shame getting in there. So, is it bad to have boundaries? Just want to say that in the midst of this conversation, no. Is it bad to expect something from someone else or to ask something? No. But if that becomes the root of your joy, even if your husband helps you, even if you get the husband, even if you get the house, it won't bring true joy. Will bring happiness for a day. But that deeper void, that deeper thing might still be empty. So to think about where in my life do I feel entitled at the moment, if I have to really be honest with myself, where do I struggle to say thank you? Where do I struggle to receive? And why is it important for me to receive? Because when you get to the reason why you receive and it becomes more clearer to you, it will also become more easier. Okay, so that is what is the battle. what is our game plan? There's hope, guys. So there's a few things I want to mention and that I want to challenge us to do this week. It's like, okay, great, I might identify something, but give me something, you know, to do then this week. So first of all, read your Bible. That's always a win. But then practice gratitude. There's a challenge I want to put out there. Before this, just try it for this week. Before you look at your phone, before you open your emails, open your eyes and say thank you for four things. At least four things. You can add, please add, but if you can get to four, awesome. Just say thank you for four things. Before you check your WhatsApps or your emails. If your baby cries, do it while you change the diaper. Okay? But try to do that as soon as you wake up. And then during your day, when you're triggered, when you feel like, the hari joy, think about what you can feel grateful for at that moment. Then don't over ask of people and things in your life. What do I mean by that? What do Louis Giglio mentioned that as well? People, we need them. Joy is relational. But people is a gift from God. It's not the root of your joy. Don't over ask of people in your life. If you think about friends where you might have been disappointed in your marriage, I mean, love my husband, but we also daar lekker saam gegroei, you know, in terms of that, you weet, and growing in what can I expect from my husband and what is actually my own things to work through. What can't he give me that I can only receive from Jesus? So don't over-ask of people. Where are you maybe currently over-asking? And then also of things in your life. I catch myself when something breaks in the house. Like, if I'm like, oh, gebreek, okay, but cool. Jy weet, kos gaan aan. Then I'm still like maybe 7 out of 10, so many joy ding, great. But if I'm down in the dumps and my life is just so terrible, nou die geyser gebreek en nou die toilet seat werk ook nie meer nie, and this and that, you know, and ach man, wil jy nie ook net bietjie help nie? When I'm getting there, I realize, oh, stop die lorry, you know? What must I do? How can I practice gratitude? I'm rooted in self now. I don't deserve it. We paid for this last week, or man, Then I need to catch myself. Where's joy? Nowhere in that moment, but go and find it again. Okay, and this is one. Balance joyless people with joyful people. That doesn't sound like a kerk thing om te sê, voel dit vir my. But let's be honest. If you are surrounded with people that moans the whole time, that's not grateful, that you will feel a bit, ugh, we're not robots, you know? That might not be encouraging, inspiring. So I'm not saying cut in every moaner out of your life. Please don't do that. We need to be a message and shine the light. But before you can be that, you need some encouragement and inspiration because we are human beings. So to think about your life, to think about why am I feeling the way I'm doing at this moment? Is there people in my life? Who's the people who will be able to encourage me in this moment? Who's the people in my life that I can go to? When last was I there? So call that person and say, pray with me. Remind me again, why am I doing this? Remind me again, what's the bigger picture in this? Remind me again of my story of salvation. Okay, shop. Let's go out and trust that our light shines. Okay, spend time with God. Big one. Because like the songs that we sing, To proclaim truth in our lives is a big one. And then guard your hearts and minds. I want to also encourage you to go and read Philippians 4 this week. So to think about whatever is noble, whatever is just, there's a whole list. So to guard your hearts and minds. And then to surrender. I trust for a phrase or a scripture every year, and I remember, I think I was still working here, and I wrote it like this, finding joy in surrender. I remember that phrase for that year. To find joy in surrender. What can you surrender this week? What can you say? God, I trust that I only see in part. I trust that you have a much bigger plan in this. I trust that you are good. I trust that you are in control, and I surrender. That might be even someone you need to forgive that keeps on stealing your joy because you just can't let it go. Surrender. Not because you are justifying what the other person did, but because you decide to step from that throne and say, God, you are the judge. This is too big for me. I will trust in your ability, not my own. Help me, God. Help me get off my throne. And I want to end off with this quote by Timothy Keller, and it says, through our petitions, we receive peace and rest. Just as physical sleep is giving up control, so petition is giving up control. Arresting and trusting in God to care for our needs. We must pray not only with shameless assertiveness, but at the same time with a restful submissiveness, a confidence that God is wiser than we are and want the best for us. May that be true in your heart this morning and this week. And you might be sitting here today and say, I really don't know where to start. I don't have strength. I don't have hope. I'm quite deep down in that shame bubble. And yeah, please stay afterwards and let us pray for you. Because there is hope. And there was a time in my life where my mom looked at me and she was like, jy is dalk nie nou opgewonde oor jou lewe nie, but I am. And I can't explain it, but I'm so excited about your future. And I really needed to hear that because I really didn't see it at the time. And I want to say that to you if you're feeling like that this morning. I'm excited about your future, even if I don't know you, because I know the God that created you. And I know that he has a plan for you. And I speak that truth over your life. And if you feel that you can acknowledge that there's been a bit of entitlement in your life. You get very angry. You're very short-tempered. Nothing is going your way. You feel entitled. You feel like you've been forgotten a bit. Trust God. Get off the throne. It's too much work for you to be on that throne. We are not capable of doing that. Ask him to make you see what he wants you to see. Ask him to open your eyes to see what you have that's around you. So, Fanner, I want to ask you to sing that song of there's joy in the house of the Lord today. But it's amazing. And if you feel like something resonated with your heart, please come to the front And we'll be here to pray. Or if you just want to sit there where you're at and while we sing this song, you can stand if you want to. Please feel free to sit and just talk to God. If you want someone to pray with you, grab someone's hand, or we'll be in front. But may we be joyful witnesses by the grace of God. Jesus, thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you that you reign, and thank you that there's good news, Father. And Lord, I pray for courageous leaders in this house this morning, Lord. I, for one, come and repent where shame and entitlement can steal, Lord. Can steal time where I could have done a lot for you, Father. I pray for every heart in this morning. Holy Spirit, thank you that you know where we are at. Thank you that we all need grace. Thank you that we all need to receive from you, Father. I ask for open hearts, Holy Spirit, to say, yes, Lord, I need you. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Remind us that we need you, Lord. Give us liberty to walk from that place and confidence receiving your grace. May we overflow on people, Lord. I pray against striving. I pray for contentment, Father. I pray for vision. Lord, we lift up your name, Father. Thank you that you are so much bigger than our insecurities, than our flaws, than our worries and anxiety. And we choose and decide to trust in you this morning again, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that that's even a possibility. In the name of Jesus Christ.